Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
So, I enjoy doing the wrap-up videos for each year. Actually, we've been doing this for a long time. I got on our YouTube channel yesterday. If you want to go back and see some of them, they go back to 2005 for the, going through the years. And it's interesting, I think it was when we were doing our 20th anniversary, so a couple years ago, I was just kind of sampling through them to kind of see over the years. And it's just crazy when you do that. I mean, just the people have come, the people have gone, the people that we've lost that have passed away, the changes that we've been through, things that we're really excited that God has done through us over and over and over again, more than we ever should be able to do with our size church, our resources. God has always gone above and beyond. And then in even areas that you like kind of grieve that you went through, but just looking at what God did through it, it's really interesting to go through those and to see those changes and celebrate what God's done through our church over the last, again, 22 years. So, I wanted to start with that because we always do that at the beginning of each year, but also a big part of what we're going to be talking about with Rethink is about remembering the past and celebrating the past and bringing those things together with us. So it really comes into place on a day like today, which is kind of a Vision Sunday. I think I hesitate to use that term because depending on your past, usually, and including with us, and it can be appropriate if done by following the Spirit. But Vision Sunday is kind of like when the pastor gets up and says, hey, the elders and I have been talking and we've been praying and this is our vision for the next year, jump on board. But it's not that kind of Vision Sunday with us. This is, it's going to be different this year, and it's going to be something that we don't seek just as leaders, but we seek as a church family together. Is kind of the role of things that we're going into. So what I want to do today is kind of look biblically, what is a Rethink season? So as we all understand it, and then talk about what we know at this point, because my assumption is that this is about a year-long season. Usually I have no idea, but this kind of looks like a year-long season. But I also want to talk to you about what a reboot season is, because it's different than Rethink. We've been through it once. I pray we never go through it again, but if God takes us there, he takes us there. But if you're not familiar with both, it's easy to mix the two and have some misunderstandings, have some the things that will slow down our communications and will maybe give you a more negative perception than what a Rethink season truly is, because you might confuse it with the reboot season. Does that make sense? Nope, it shouldn't. Because right now I'm using a lot of terminology that I've made up. So we're going to talk about reboot first. So it is a season, like I said, we went through once, but I want to look at it from a biblical standpoint, and we're going to do that by looking at Jeremiah. It just took a second to come up. There we go. Jeremiah 31 is where you're headed. If you get your Bibles out, again, New Version is back up and running with me being back from vacation. And then the Bibles are around underneath the chairs in those baskets if you want to borrow, keep, or steal one. But I want to go to Jeremiah and look at a reboot, probably talking about the main reboot that we have ever been through as Christians. Now, Jeremiah, if you don't know a lot about Jeremiah, he's a prophet. You're going to find him in the books of the prophets, which I believe, but I'm not certain, that you're going to get more familiar with the prophets this year, that we're going to be in the prophets, kind of like what we were in the letters of the heroes of our faith. I think we're going to be in the prophets more this year as we go through Rethink. So I kind of want to start out with the prophet, but you also need to know Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. That's not me messing up the word. It actually is weeping, W-E-E-P-I-N-G, because he went through it. If you ever go through a season where it just seems like things never get right and you're just constantly struggling and you're trying to worship and find hope in the middle of it, Jeremiah is a good one to dig into, not just his book, but his life. Again, the weeping prophet as far as his own personal life. He went through all kinds of struggles and would still hold on to hope, still hold on to faith. He was known as weeping prophet because of his prophecies Israel was going through some bad times. They were not keeping in line with the covenant that God had made with them through the law, specifically in the areas of idolatry, and also violating God's law when it came to social justice and taking care of each other and people that were in poverty or people that were struggling. And God had a lot of really hard things, tough things to say to them about that. And there was a lot of cause and effect judgment that came from that. One of the nice things about how God does judgment, if you ever really look at it in the scripture, is as always, this is where you're headed, but if you turn, this is what it could be, or this is where it's headed, but just so you don't lose hope, this is what I'm going to do after it. God is all very merciful, even in his judgment. But they were going through tough times. God was telling him to say very tough things to the people, including that soon they were going to be overthrown by the Babylonians. I believe again that they had the freedom, and they were going to go back under that kind of oppression again. So there's a lot of, from that standpoint, Lamentations. How many people have ever read Lamentations? Anybody? A few of us? We talked about Lamentations a year ago in our Wednesday night Bible studies, which is how to mourn as worship. We do not know 100% who wrote that, but we know 90% that it was him. From the history, from the culture, from the tradition, that there's a really good shot that Jeremiah is the one to write it. So he really is a good one for that. But this particular section is going to be right after he's got done talking to them about all these things. And then God says, I want you to tell them about this, though. I want you to tell them about this reboot that's going to happen. So that's what we're going to read, starting out in verse 31. God says through Jeremiah, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made before with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I'll write it on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus says the Lord. Do you see the repetition of says the Lord? I mean, we're not going to have any misunderstanding. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light for day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below can be explored, then I will cast all the offspring of Israel, for all that they have done, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming. They're not here yet for them. They are for us. But for them, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the city shall be rebuilt for the Lord from the tower of Hanel to the corner gate, and the measuring line shall go out further, straight up to the hill of Garib, and shall then turn to Goa, the whole valley of the dead bodies, and from the ashes and all the fields as far as the brook Kidron to the corner of the horse gate towards the east shall be sacred to the Lord. It shall not be plucked up or overthrown anymore forever. Just that last paragraph is this. When I redo it, your area is going to be much larger. That's basically what that paragraph says. I'm going to expand you. You're going to fall to the Babylonians, but with this new covenant, it's going to be a much bigger picture. So if we're looking at this, it's talking about, and maybe it's not overly evident, but once you put it in, maybe it will be. He's talking about Jesus coming. He's talking about the new covenant. When you look in your script Bible and you see the Old Testament and you see the New Testament, testament means covenant. This is the old covenant God had with us. This is the new covenant that was ushered in through Jesus' death and resurrection and his victory. You still with me? And he's saying in the Old Testament, there's going to be a change where the law is no longer about something that you learn and you carry and you try and you strive and all the different things that you got going on, but it's going to be written in your heart. The law is going to be fulfilled, and you're not going to want to commit adultery anymore because you love. You're not going to want to commit murder because you love. You're not going to want to take and cheat somebody else or have an idol before me because of love. It's going to be written within you as my Holy Spirit lives in you when you accept Jesus as the leader and forgiver in your life. It's going to be completely different because you guys couldn't handle this. This you really messed up. And the trick of it all is real kind of supposed to mess this up. Because this is telling us how hard it is for us to be righteous in ourselves and we can't do it. And Jesus now makes us righteous. So when he's talking about this new covenant, he's saying this is not working. We're going to shut it down. We're still going to have some of the same heart. We're still going to have some mission. We're going to shut it down and completely redo it because it's broken and it's not working. That's a reboot. That's the massive reboot in all of Christianity, is when you say there's too much disease, there's too much struggle, there's too much virus. Like a computer, we need to shut it down and start from scratch and make it work the way it was supposed to work in the beginning. Still with me? Think Noah and the ark. The whole world's falling apart, everything's trash. That's a reboot situation. Everything gets destroyed except for the one thing that's working, which is Noah, and then brings it back in. We're going to start from scratch. We're going to wipe it all out. We're going to start from scratch. That's a reboot situation. That's not a rethink situation. Our reboot situation was 3 years in. I was talking to Kerry a little bit about this earlier today, and the guys yesterday a little bit in the men's group. We were 3 years in. I've talked about this. As you might have already heard about some of this. But we had a church split 3 years in. That's what I call it. I don't know if anybody else would call it that. Usually when like 10 people get mad and leave, that's not a split. But when you're a church of 30, that's kind of a big deal. And long story short of it is we had a young lady who really went off the rails, dragged her husband, good guy, good meaning guy, into it with him and some of his friends into it. And next thing you know, they're having secret meetings at Burger King on Thursday nights. And they're talking about all these things that are supposedly happening that weren't happening. And then it kind of accumulated to a point where they called for me to be fired. And so I sat down with them. We talked about all these things. They found out a lot of that stuff wasn't true that they were being told. But nonetheless, at that point, it just didn't feel like the way it was anymore. So a bunch of those folks walked out and they left. So part of that is just the goofiness where somebody can take a group of people. But also, if there's wisdom at all, let's look at the big picture. What allowed that? What made that so unchecked, or what invited that for such a long period of time? And a big part of it had to do with the leadership structure that we had at the time. The leadership structure that I put into place, this is completely on me, matched church planting books, did not match the scripture. Okay? There's a lot of goofy out there. And so we were doing this stuff, selling church books, and we were having cliques and alliances like it was a game of Survivor. We had people with their own agendas and not really addressing them, trying to make everybody happy, which you know doesn't work all the time if you're following God. We had areas that it sounded good but left voids, and whenever there's a void, people usually fill it with negativity. For example, we never talked about finances back then. My thought was, let the leadership team, because we weren't elders, because again, we won't be biblical, let us deal with finances. And so everybody else just has the freedom to follow the Spirit. That sounds like a wise-sounding argument. And it is a wise-sounding argument, but it's not what the Bible calls us to do. And so what that ended up being was this person saying, well, what's really going on with the finances? Why don't they talk about it? What are they really doing back there? And the crazy part is, her husband's in those meetings. But it invited negativity, and so some of the things that she was... So we did a reboot. We shut down the leadership team. We put in an emergency leadership team that the one goal, outside of just dealing with what we had to deal with, was to study the scripture on what is church leadership supposed to look like. That was the only goal. And we did that for about 7 months. Then we led into a church-wide study for 3 months. We talked about it, dug into it together, found what was supposed to be biblical, put it into place, and I can't tell you how night and day it is. But there was enough problems, there was enough disease, there was enough viruses that we had to shut the computer down and reboot it from scratch. That doesn't happen a lot. And because usually you had to have reboot because you got so far off track that you invited the viruses. Does that make sense? So a reboot comes when there's a problem, when there's a major problem and it needs to be addressed. Rethink is different than that. Rethink, sometimes it's talked about, another word that we see in the scripture, or not scripture, but in church ministry is revitalization. That's a big word amongst the pastors. And revitalization is mostly talked about when a church is struggling, They're down to like 15, 20 people. They bring in somebody like Mark Clifton, who is extremely gifted in revitalization ministry. And he'll spend a year and a half with them and rebuild that church to 100, you know, people or so, and get them solid again, and then he moves on to another thing. So that is a type of rethink where you're redoing that church. I like revitalization when things are going good. I think we're smart to do things when it's good, not just when we notice problems. And so I think that's what it's kind of been leading into from this method of things. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit, a couple more things just on reboot. I do want you to see these are the principles that we see within a reboot within this particular scripture, that it was God-driven with the people and within the people, right? So God is the one that with the reboot is saying it's time. And he's working with the people and then working throughout the people to be able to bring these things into order, to fix these things in unison with God. That's the power of that promise within it. Now, they also had to deal with sin, because if you don't deal with sin, you can't have the unity here, right? That's just restoration. So deal with sin. I feel like that was a big part of our Lukewarm series. I believe that's a big part, especially for our Roman series, of dealing with sin. When we have to confess sin, move forward in sin so that we can have a unison with God. And even though that seems to be a big order and maybe even impossible to do, he says we can do it by God's power and by his creation power. That's the power of a reboot, and that's a power for our walk with Jesus Christ. You see that? We just, youth group, Wednesday night, this was the first week that I was in with the kids. And I'll tell you what, we have a small group, but they're smart. They're good. They're seeking. Since she's not here, I'll talk about Charlie. I was saying just a little bit earlier, Charlie's one that if you're reading a paragraph of scripture, you get through verse 5 and it doesn't click, you're not getting to verse 6 yet. She's like, no. What's that? What's this mean? They're asking good questions. And we were talking about Jesus being the Word of God, right? That's John 1. You guys generally know that. And then taking it back just to blow their minds, in Genesis, how did God create the great light? God spoke and became light. God spoke and it separated the land from the seas. God spoke, and these things that he's talking about here, for the sun and the life of day and the order of the moons and stars, he did that all through speaking, and that word that he spoke was Jesus. And so when John tells us everything was created through Jesus and by Jesus, it's because he's that word. He's that spokenness. And we're like, and that's the power of creation that he is saying, that he literally uses that example, saying that that's the power that we can have with God, working together and working amongst ourselves to completely redo the way that we live. Does that make sense? So, and one thing that stood out to me in my studies this week was just this: a renewed covenant demands renewed people. If you reboot and he's giving you a new covenant, then we have to change. We have to be renewed into that covenant. So, but let me give you some examples of rethink, since that's what we're actually here for. Like I said, I can get going. So, rethinks. Acts 6 is a rethink. Acts 6, you probably know better as the choosing of the seven, which is what we consider the original deacons, that there was a period of time that they were trying to help people in need, which is, again, what they violated in Jeremiah. But now the law is written on the heart, and we want to care for people. But there was so much need, and there's such a big community so quickly, and all the different things that fall into place with it. Then they saw missing people. So they had to rethink that. What's that process? That's the process. And that's when we saw the apostles say, pick seven. They're going to be over this, so it's not slowing us down when it comes to preaching the gospel, but that we're still taking care of those needs. That's a rethink. Something came up within this newness of this new covenant that we have to address. Gentiles was a big rethink. Peter kind of got that Jesus was for all, but he came a long way in the Gentiles, but wasn't fully there. Then we get to Acts 9, and we get to Acts 10, where Peter sees the vision of the animals coming back up and down, saying, whatever I've made, don't call it unclean. And then having to go to Cornelius' house, who's a Gentile, and had a full house of Gentiles, and Peter's not allowed to go in there according to the old law. But he goes in, and my father says, hey, you guys know I'm not allowed to be here, so why am I here? Tell us the gospel. Tells them the gospel. The Holy Spirit falls on them. He says, holy cow, it really is for everybody. That's a rethink. That's a process he had to go through to understand the fullness of this new covenant. But one that I want to talk to you about today is Acts 15. And Acts 15, like all of these, you really kind of have to study the stuff instead of assuming what this stuff says, or else you get into weird thoughts that would mess up what we think. For instance, we had, at that time of 3 years, we had an issue with gossip in our church. And I generally, if somebody's struggling with something, I like talking one-on-one. If two or three people are struggling with something, usually those are going to be individual talks, or it's a sign that maybe other people are dealing with it too, so you teach on it a little bit. Not calling people out, but just teach on it a little bit. But this was a situation where everybody was involved. You were either doing gossip or you were listening to gossip. And so it was a church-wide address. And it basically became, love you guys. This is what the Bible says about gossip. Everybody's either doing it or listening. Just want to let you know, if you want to help cut the gossip in half, don't listen. A gospel can't gossip if you're not listening. If you just say, hey, this isn't right, I don't want to do it. We really dug into it. And we had a guy get really worked up, older guy, who considered himself quite the biblical scholar, even though he really wasn't a biblical scholar. And that's a dangerous place to be. And he said, man, we need to do Acts 15. We need to get everybody in the room as a church and just say, this is what it is, and we need to decide together what we're going to do about this. And I said, I love you, brother, but that's not what it says. That's not what Acts 15 says. Acts 15 is a rethink. It's a great rethink, and they're dealing with the topic of circumcision. So here's basically what happened. So you got the church of Antioch, which is a Gentile church, and Paul and Barnabas are there. We've talked about them a lot. It's a phenomenal church. If you really want to study what a church should look like, that's a great place to get into as far as the church. And things are going well. And then these guys come from Jerusalem, and they start teaching them, hey, this is great. God wrote you, but you still need to be circumcised. That's the old covenant. That's not the new covenant. The old covenant means, ouch. The new covenant is to be circumcised to the heart, to take and be cut to your heart for Jesus. But these guys were trying to make these two blend when they weren't supposed to blend. It was a reboot. And so a lot of people got upset about it here, and it started to split the church. And so they went to the leaders, Paul and Barnabas, and said, you need to go to Jerusalem, which is your authority, because there is a such thing as church authority, and talk to them. So they go to Jerusalem, and they say, listen to what's going on in the church of Antioch. And this church starts to talk about it, and this church starts to split. And so they say, okay, everybody time out. That's not how we do things here. So they had an elders meeting. The elders, the bishop, James, the leaders from the Antioch church all went into a room, and they all dug into it and found what they felt God's solution was and put it out and said, this is what it is. And it was a rethink and moved forward in new ways. So let me explain that a little bit better as we also look at the bullet points that come from it. In that situation, we don't see where everybody gets in the room and we dig it out until everybody's on the same page, because that doesn't really happen anyways with a group of people, especially if somebody who likes to gossip and you don't want to stop. So leaders do have to lead in a rethink standpoint. That's their responsibility. That's what they're accountable for, and they have to do it well or they need to be addressed. But it also includes, as you hear, the voice of the people. You see in both churches, they're talking about it to a certain extent, as long within healthy, the boundaries of it. Then they celebrate what was. When they got into this meeting with James and the apostles and everything, and they said to Peter, listen, you've been there. What have you seen? He goes, man, let me tell you what I saw in Antioch. And they celebrated everything that had been happening that Peter had saw. And so celebrating what was is very foundational, especially unifying within a rethink. And then they also celebrate what is. They said, Peter, that sounds great. Paul, Barnabas, you're there all the time. What are you guys seeing? And they're talking about what the Holy Spirit is doing with the church, and their minds are just being blown according to the scripture. They're like, this is great. We don't want to hinder that. We don't want to cause problems within that. So, and they saw a dreaming of what it should be within that freedom. And then they also put things into place to protect that freedom. We don't think it's right to put that burden on Gentiles when that's not what Jesus taught. So you do not need to be circumcised to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We do ask you to do this and this that Jesus did talk about, but we're not putting this burden on you because Jesus didn't put that burden on you. And they decided in unity, and according to this, the elders were all in the same place. They went out to told church. The church was all in the one place. I will tell you this one hunch. I still think people left. I still think some people said, they need to be circumcised. I'd be circumcised. My grandfather was circumcised. It's just the natural order of things. When something comes down, people leave. We've had three or four people leave because we went through the lukewarm series and things that they didn't like or they didn't want to lean into scripturally. Especially in the Roman series, we've had people leave. And I'm telling you, we're going to have people leave during the rethink, too. It's just the nature of people. We don't want that to happen. We want to be in unity. But I prepare my heart for that because sometimes that happens. Not in a violent way like reboot, but rethink that is a possibility as well because it has to be in unity. So sometimes people step off and then moving forward in those new ways. So this is a rethink. This is a revitalization from a healthy standpoint. So now, does that make sense? Any questions on any of that? The difference between a rethink and a reboot. The main thing when it comes to unity of a rethink is that we're communicating and we're all on the same page with each other and we're all following Jesus. If somebody says, this is my agenda or this is my thought, we're in trouble, or at least they are. And we'll have tough conversations, that's okay. But for all of us to come together and say, we want to follow the Holy Spirit. We want to follow the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do it like we always do, from twofold. What does this mean for us personally? Because it's an invitation for you to go through this process. What is my new start? What's my new beginning? What things does God want to build on with me and be able to move forward in new ways? And then also as a church. Actually, most of this would be behind the scenes as a church. But this is what we're kind of heading into. Right, any questions? Any thoughts? Everybody good? Everybody good? Anybody woke up yet? Anybody? No? Everybody awake? Lindsay, you awake? Lindsay. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So, let's talk about our season and what we'll be looking through. And I'll leave this up for a little bit as we're going to follow some of the same mode of things. To explain what's been and where we're headed. So, leaders lead. I've been working on Rethink for about 7 months now. I've been excited about Rethink for the last 7 months. I've been intimidated by Rethink for the last 7 months. There have been times where, like when I went on that, I have a usual system for sabbaticals, and I went to one, you remember, a couple months ago, where I went 3 days to Mexico, and that was outside of that norm. It was because of Rethink, and I remember like trying to explain to you guys why I was leaving for 3 days to dig into like this stuff without telling you what this stuff is. It's been going on for a long time. The elders are a little bit more in play with that. We've talked about those in different meetings and had some great discussions and prayer time together. The staff was made aware maybe 4 months ago. We had a staff meeting at Perkins because Mike likes Perkins for breakfast. So this is what's coming, and we're putting, basically, in a rethink season, you just put everything on the altar and say, it's up to you, God. You don't shut down everything. You just put everything on the altar and say, there is no sacred cows here. So as the next several months go by for the fall and for the winter, watch in your ministries what things are working, what things aren't working, what things do we want to talk about, what conversations do we want to have. And so it's been behind the scenes for a little while. And there's been some preparation getting us ready for this year. So that's what we've been doing from a leader standpoint. Voice of the people. Starting today, we're going to have a lot of voice from you guys. We're inviting you to a lot of communication. It will start today. We're going to have some back and forth here in just a little bit. And when we do, don't worry about running a microphone around. I'll do my best to repeat what everybody says into a microphone just to leave it less chaotic. But we're going to start today with some communication as a church family. And then we will be doing a wave of brainstorming in different ways as we get into, basically, I'll explain it better as we go. But we're going to be having bi-weekly potluck meetings. So every 2 weeks. If you remember, a few weeks ago, we had a potluck meeting over here for everyone to come and talk about the last season that we just came out of. You remember that? This is going to be that format. We're going to have every other week, different topic. We're going to meet in the blue room after church. We're going to have potluck, and you will bring food. You kind of struggled on that last one. I'm not too upset about it because I wasn't in that meeting, but you struggled on bringing food. You guys are hungry at the church. I know you're hungry at the church. Bring food. For this next one, Jenny and I have already decided, or Jenny decided, and I'm just taking credit, for bringing hot dogs. That would be the fun. But bring food, bring a drink for yourself, and we're going to have different topics on the table, and we're just going to brainstorm. There was no bad idea in brainstorming. There was no decisions made on brainstorming. It is just getting stuff out, getting stuff out. Here's some of the topics we'll be talking about. And you get to choose which ones you want to come to. The more, the better, though. We'll have a week on community outreach, 1 week on kids and families, another one on worship through music, another one on care for people inside the church and within the community. We'll have one on discipleship, which will cover Sundays, small groups, Bible and prayer and discipleship. We'll have 1 week just on finances within the church. We'll have 1 week on singles and seniors. Okay, so we'll be putting you two together because you guys are a wild party bunch. Guest, security, we're going to be talking about all kinds of things. Our next one, our first one, and I gave you a little bit of a hint this week just so you can get on your schedules, is going to be the last Sunday of this month. It'll be right after church, potluck, and we're going to be talking about youth ministry. So if you are a teen, you should be there. If you are a recent teen, you should be there. If you're in youth ministry here at our church, you should be there. If you're a parent, pat her back there, Matthew, pat her back. If you're a parent, you should be there. Yeah. If you have past experience in youth ministry, but you're not involved in youth ministry right now, if you have a heart for youth in our church, if you have a youthful heart in our community, you should be there. And we will dig in and brainstorm together on where we've been and where we might be headed as we put these things into place. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for communication. And, of course, if anything comes to you that's outside those meetings, send me a PM, have coffee. All this stuff's going to be open. But I will say this is honest. My job is going to go up a notch. It's going to take a lot more time to do this, to do it the way that we're doing it. And it's worth it to me. I pray that you meet me there. I pray you meet me there. Okay, so there's that. That's what's coming. So did everybody get the dates down? Everybody's good? Everybody knows what they're bringing for your food? Good. Okay. So that's the voice of the people. Celebrate what was. I like celebrating what was. Okay, my back's acting up, so I'm going to hobble in front of you guys. Carrie Zurch, it's a paperboard day. She loves paperboard. Scott Zurch, I had to move your base so I had space for it. Sorry. I was thinking about pushing it over, but I didn't think you'd think it was all that funny. So, what's that? Okay, here's where I need input. I want to brainstorm, not where we're headed, not what you want to do as a church, but as a church as a whole, not breaking it down into subtopics. What things in our past have you loved, have meant something to you, that you wish we still did, but we don't anymore, or maybe it was just a season, and maybe it doesn't even need to continue, but it was really impactful at the time. Basically thinking that you're looking at these year-end videos, and you're smiling going, that's right, I remember that. That reminded me of that. Now, as we do this, there's another thing that you're going to be doing. Inside your bulletin is a sermon sheet. See it? Everybody? Inside your bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, raise your hand, and Miss Amanda Howard would be thrilled to get you a... Well, there's two in the back. Zurches are completely unprepared. Monica's completely unprepared. Yeah, it's the worship team. There they are, leaders leading. Inside that, you're going to see just a third sheet of paper that says, it'll make sense but more during the sermon. I do that all the time. During this time, or any time during the sermon, or the rest of our study time, if you would, I would love for you to write a couple sentences on why you love this church, or what you have about church. It's the same thing that we're doing up here. And then put your name on it. I would love to have your name on it. And then pass it down to the closest aisle, and then just put it underneath the seats, and we'll collect them later. For two reasons. One, this is helping me in the celebrating what was. And two, we may use some of them in our social media outreach so that people have a reason to believe if they are looking for community and they see that there might be some hope through you. If you don't want your share, just put please do not share, and I promise I'll still love you. Okay, so that sound good? So you can do that anytime during this sermon, during this time. But while you're doing that, pens in the back of the chairs in front of you, what from our past have you loved? Go. Somebody. Mental health series, okay? For those who don't remember the mental health series, that was right before COVID. And I think it was a 6-week or an 8-week. And we wanted to be a better community by understanding each other better. That's a way we could help each other. And each week was a different topic. We've suicidal tendencies, PTSD, anxiety, depression, and that's still out there on our YouTube. It was a good series. That really helped. It changed our environment. It really did. What else? Huh? I got an example? Or does anybody else have a community project? What's that? Okay, help people with houses, okay. Keep in mind, too, I'm older and can't hear worth a crap. Keep going. Yes, Tammy. Okay. Okay. What else? Church and Park. Keep going. Front porch sitting. Now, when she's talking about that, you're talking about the old porch, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's why we want them to do the front porch out in front. We used to have from this wall over, that was our front porch. The blue room was our front porch. The staff office was all front porch, and we used to have like chairs, like kind of like a Cracker Barrel type thing. And it was great. People would come early, people would stay late, and we'd just hang out there. That's kind of where I want to get back to that front porch sitting. What else?
Trunk or treat.
Trunk or treat, okay. What else?
The porch, or like the porch feel of like the coming beforehand, staying after, the rocking chairs.
I'll put an asterisk after it. We just put that up there.
Yeah,
that's okay. That's okay, sweetie. You're retired now. You don't have to pay attention. What else? Huh? Sitting on the porch? That's a good one. What? Movie nights? What else?
I like when we do things with other churches.
Okay.
But one thing I think would be a good idea about that, though, is I've went to that quite a few times,
uh-huh.
And I don't feel like the churches get to know each other.
Merge, okay.
So you know how sometimes you'll do this thing where you're like, talk to people around you,
yeah.
And introduce yourself.
Well, now you're talking solutions. That's next.
Okay.
What else?
Clothing drive.
Are you talking about the one we did with Walmart and Aspire?
Yeah.
That was incredible. If you guys want to hear for that, it's just Walmart donated a bunch of their COVID clothes. Not that they had COVID, but just and we just packed this place out and people got clothes. It was awesome. What else? Reverse trick or treat. If you don't know what that is, that's when we go to a nursing home and we give candy instead of take it for our kids.
At Christmas, we used to do the boxes.
That's the Samaritan Purse boxes. We substituted that with the catalogs, but yeah, when we do the boxes and send it to them. What's that? Shoe drive. We did one shoe drive, the original one Jenny did. Hold on. But I think the shoe, what was our goal? It was 2,000 shoes originally, and it was like 5,500 shoes. Pairs of shoes, and we had to figure out how to come to Nashville. That was fun. Okay, somebody said what, Christmas Eve?
Eve.
Yeah. Eve, yeah. Matthew.
Caroline.
All of a sudden, we're only alive for Christmas. What else? What is it? Cleansing Stream? Great conference. Monica, did you say something?
Workshops.
What else?
Community
prayer night. Did you just say movies again?
No, I said to go along with that. I liked it when we did Chosen on Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah.
Chosen study.
Peanut butter jelly
drop. I put it up there. What else?
Children's choir.
Children's choir. I I'm going to put it, but this is the old timers. This is the old timers. Hell's Motives. Hell's Motives. It was an outdoor drama that we did as a church. I think we're like maybe 30 people at the most. But it was Halloween, and people go through the woods, and there was different scenes that was presented the gospel. And like, again, for an itty-bitty church of 30 people, it was insane that God let us do that. The resources came together. We would have about 600 people each year go through it. And it's all our salvation stuff. It was just a really cool thing. It's a lot of work. It was a really cool thing.
I like game night, especially when we do.
I like game nights. What else?
Kids or youth, like trips away, like the kids did road trips to
Cleveland, whatever. Okay. Cleveland, stuff like that. Yours are already out of the house, I think.
They're next door.
I know, but still. What else?
Thanksgiving.
Like the Thanksgiving meals with IMA? What else? Small groups? What else?
Worship nights.
What else? You got something, JT? Who's by themselves?
Me.
Oh, yeah. I'm all for it, though. I like it. We're not at unity yet. You can do it now because we're not at unity yet.
My favorite memory was the pandemic.
I'll tell you now, I get what he's saying. But it was a different environment because it was just the worship team and myself and a couple other people in here while we're doing live feeds. And we are usually, yeah, you're other people. Really other people. But it was a unique time because we could just be, instead of like having a bunch of billion different things going, you just really had that kind of peace in the room, and it was a lack of chaos. Everything's pros and cons, and now there's some good pros to that. What else?
I'm going to be jalapeno. And I'm not just kissing you.
Thank you. Though there was no objection to butt kissing. What else? Leadership conference? You talking about the one at up at Mohican?
Yes, sir.
Do what?
I was just going to say that.
Church retreats. No, we've not.
I suggest we do.
Next list. What else?
Keep that in mind, though. Right here.
Now, hold on, guys. I can't hear you. Okay.
Has nobody mentioned VBS?
No one has. VBS? Old man liking the kids' time. Anything else you want to throw out there? The response time at the service? Yeah.
I'm rotten.
Anything else you want to throw up there before I go to the next list? Did anybody fill out their testimony sheet?
Yeah.
Stay on it. Get on it. Get on it. Good job, Javi. Javi, what? What's that? Oh, okay. Concerts. There's a reason why we haven't, but I can explain it some other time. It's not against it. It's just the thought process behind it. And I'll tell you what, Mitch McVicker, at least three times a year, hey, what do you think about April? So, but there's other groups. Among the Thirsty, you have Among Thirsty and some other guys. I like that. Hey, Beth? Yes, they are better when people come. Okay. If you think of anything else, send me a PM, okay? Or send me a text. I call everything the same thing. Send me a text, send me a PM, send me an email, send me whatever else social media you like. Okay, now we need to do a list of ideas about the future, what you would like to see. I do not have any more space. Matthew, you got me covered? There is something special, I will say, when the paper board comes out. I'm always excited about the paper board. No, I want us to be able to still see it. We can't see it if we flip it over. No. No, I got a solution. My boy Matthew's got me covered. It's a two paper board Sunday. Thank you, my good man. He knows his mom loves when I use paper boards. He's like, is there some way I can help bring more paper board? Now, celebrate what is becomes dream what should be. This is a lot of things in our past, okay? It fills the whole page, which feels good. It's also 22 years worth of past, so there's a lot more things you can fill into there. The question becomes, what things would you dream-wise or suggest we do in the future? Might be the future of the church. Or maybe something that we used to do that, man, I wish I would come back. What's on this sheet? What have you dreamed about what should be?
I'm doing what I said earlier about the different churches.
See, it fits over here.
Like a meet and greet kind of thing. So they get to know each other. I feel like some people may be feeling uncomfortable.
Okay. Sounds good. Mon? What? Church retreat. Now, I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to say anything about any of these because I can tell you why they will work and why they won't work. But I don't do that during brainstorming. Because brainstorming is just ideas. What else? Future.
Like youth and kids church service, like led by. Like I would love the worship team to be made up of youth and kids. I would
love. Kind of like the Christmas.
Yes.
One they did.
Cool.
Okay. What else?
The porch.
Huh?
The porch.
She wants the porch back. I'm telling you.
I want that porch. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All we need is the finances. Okay.
Hey, I'd like the porch back.
Thanks.
Can I have the porch back?
You're right. Tasers. Tasers would be good. What else? Yes.
I think we ought to have hot tub nights and make good.
No. No bad ideas. No bad ideas. Yes. Angel. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Okay. What else?
You know, we do church in the park. Didn't we at one time do a giant tent that had church?
Of back church Sunday, huh?
Yeah.
Tommy, you got to figure out which list to want. You want to bring back the tent? We can do that. And you like paint nights? Okay. My wife announces a new fundraiser. Chris.
Shh. Coffee shop type coffee. I will volunteer to be the barista. You can do that.
What else?
It'd be a good fundraiser.
I think it would be kind of cool to have like a weekly like family.
Wait, guys, hold on. What's that? A weekly what? Okay. What else? Fun. What else? Huh? Monica, would you like to present? Oh, wait, no, it's brainstorming. It's a brainstorming. She hates the word stage. Would you like an elevator? Would elevated platform work?
Yes, elevated platform.
Would elevated platform work?
Yes.
Okay, listen in for the next one. Who's next?
Small groups or accountability groups or something along those lines.
Small groups. Home groups. Accountability groups. What else? What else? Javi's got a new car. What's that now? What else?
It's kind of an extension of what's happening, but kind of not. But further, like, outreach, like, the cleaning cabin is happening, but just having that be more people that are involved in the process of building relationships with people in our community.
Okay. What else? Awesome. Thank you. What else? Huh? Craft show? I'll tell you what, I'll put this one up here because it's been a dream of mine for a long time. Is Smoky Mountains Weekend.
Yeah.
Where we'd, just go. No, we'd use the back property here. And we bring out crafters and we bring out music and all kinds of stuff for our community. What else? We're losing JT. What else? Are you guys spent? I think they're spent. No.
More
Again, I'm not going to do input because it's brainstorming, but just for future reference, Carrie, can you point at that door beside you? That's the Jeremiah Scoville Memorial Bathroom. If you couldn't find Jeremiah, he was either back there peeing or back there smoking. It was one of the two. That was just my boy. Anything else? Again, we can PM, we can send. Yeah.
I know when the girls were in youth group, we got together and the youth group actually took a weekend camping trip to a concert series.
Yeah.
Island, and they really enjoyed that.
Nice. Okay. So, that is dreaming what can be, and we're going to be doing a lot more through these brainstorm nights. You're going to see me ripping these off and carrying them with me or keeping them in my office and digging into them all the time. So if you have any other thoughts, we'll just keep adding them to the list. That is not a problem in any way, shape, or form. Did you fill out your testimony sheet yet? Okay, make sure you put them underneath the seats at the end of the aisles. Okay, so, huh? Whichever side is closest to you. So yours will be under yours, those three will be over there. You guys got it, good to go. And worst case scenario, you put it on your seat and we find it anyways. So that was what to celebrate what was and what is. And then we're going to be talking to talk more about dreaming what should be. So now I'm going to take back and do the monologue. Okay, we're going back to monologue. Because I don't think two is enough. So we're going to use three. I didn't want to go spend another $70 on another stand. I got plenty of paper. I don't have enough stands. So let's talk a little bit about the dreaming what should be, because this is actually something I've used multiple times. It really falls into interim ministry of us talking about what we love, unifying within what we love, dream about what's in the future, and then you think about what's in the middle, like what gets us from that place to the other. This is what is to come. We're going to be doing a sermon series that is going to kick it off, and it's going to be in Nehemiah, which is about rebuilding the wall. It's, again, not all the sermon series are going to be about this, because I also want to make sure that we stay within the personal side of it, your new start, your new beginning, why a lot of this is going on within the brainstorming groups and within the different discussions that you have an opportunity to join. So Nehemiah starts next week. That's going to be our first series within the season. Wednesday nights are changing just a little bit for the adults. We're not doing a book club. We're not doing a Bible study per se. But Neil is going to be leading the church through discussion groups on what we talked about on Sunday. So if we do Nehemiah 1, and then Wednesday night is going to be Nehemiah 1. And so that we're hearing again, this is a lot about us talking together. We're hearing your feedback from the sermon, from the study, how that applies to your life, how it applies to other people's lives, and he'll be leading that discussion each week throughout the Nehemiah series. Then, this is the reason why I wanted to have deacons in place by the end of the year, because we're going to be revitalizing a lot when it comes to our care team ministry, our car team ministry. Miss Audrey is going to be picking up the car team ministry and working with the ladies on revitalizing that. Starting today, we have 4 new elder consultants. I'll explain that to you. So we have our elders in our church. It's Angie, Monica, and myself at this time in the season. Through a lot of prayer and a lot of seeking, I've asked 4 people to join our team for the next 8 months as consultants, as input from the church. So starting today until August, Michael Ferrottini will be with us. Neil Sawyer will be with us, Heather Hokins will be with us, and Melissa Scoville will be with us. And so they will be representing you guys even in those meetings. So we're kind of branching those things out even more. And so today we have our first elders meeting. It's going to be after this, and we're going to be going through everything that we just talked about and everything that you guys have shared. Then I'm going on my normal 3-day work sabbatical up to Mohican, but it's all on this. All this will be going with me, everything that you guys have shared. If there's anything else that comes to mind, again, send me a PM, send me an email, and I'll be looking at those, but just studying on this first kickoff step. Then we'll be starting the brainstorm groups, which we have talked about. Then every 5 years, I do a 2-month sabbatical, and this is the 5th year. So in June and July, you're going to be having feelings, so I'll be gone, completely unplugged from the church. I will not be accessible in any way from the church. That's the elders, that's the staff, that's the care team, that's the deacons, that you guys taking care of each other. And it does a few things. One, for the church standpoint, it reminds you guys, you don't need me. You need God. Okay, that's first and foremost. I remember the first time I did this, it was an emergency thing. People were like, what are we going to do without Tom? Pretend I got killed in a car wreck. It's like, this is not the church of Tom. You know what I mean? Jenny does that every once in a while. Just to get a little break. It lets us know if there's an area of codependency where people are dependent on Tom instead of having for themselves and the church and the other leaders within the church. And it lets me completely unplug from church. It gives me rest time, gives me family time, gives me personal, sabbatical, spiritual time. That's the main gist of it. And I do pick one project to really focus on during those 2 months, and it would be this. So all of this will be going with me into the sabbatical. I just won't be here, and I won't be accessible. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about that more as it gets closer, but just so you know. And then my hope is, because, again, the challenge with dreaming is we need volunteers, we need resources, we need the things to make those things happen. Same thing with this. This is a financial investment. So if we have the finances, and I believe that God will provide that, then we'll do a fall leadership retreat, which is the one that Katie was talking about we did 2 years ago, where myself, the elders, and the staff, the spouses, and the kids will all go to Mohican for a weekend to dig into all of this so then we can launch into putting things into place. Does that make sense? So that kind of gives you the general overall view of where we're going when it comes to dreaming should be and putting into place and doing it in a way that's in unity, that, again, that we're dreaming together, that we're not making choices together and trying to say, I want my way or the highway. I was talking to, I think it was Neil yesterday. It's like, it's just amazing how many people come and like visit church and say, I love this church. I love it. And 2 months later, they'd be like, can you change these 5 things to make it more like what I used to have at the church I didn't like? You know, that kind of stuff. Can't be personal agendas. It has to be us working and seeking God together. So, sound good? Any questions? Any thoughts? I'm looking. Who's in?
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500. or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.